the Bible Girl podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I've gathered my Bible, my journals, some study tools, and highlighters in every color for study time. From the practical to the inspirational, I pray that these podcasts give you the tools and motivation to be a Bible Girl too. Welcome to today's episode. I'm excited to talk to you today about scripture meditation and a little bit about the benefits of that and how that works. I hope that this is something that you'll really pay attention to and give it a try, because I feel like it's one of the things that has a lot to do with how we grow, and the spiritual development that we go through can all be tied directly to our application and meditation of Scripture. I want to start by just talking about a few sections of Scripture that show what our part of being transformed is. When it comes to spiritual growth, there's a part that God is involved in, and there's a part that we're involved in. We as believers are supposed to cooperate with the process. And there are seven scriptures that talk about our part in transformation. And I want to start there, because that is what scripture meditation will do, is it will transform us. And so I want to go over these scriptures just before we dig into how you meditate. I'm not going to read the scriptures. I'm going to give you the reference, and they'll all be in the show notes. And just for sake of time, I don't know if you can tell from my voice, but I have a bit of a cold, and I'm going to try to get through this without coughing a whole lot, which means that I need to keep it short and sweet today. The first passage is in Romans 12, verse 2, where it says that we are supposed to renew our minds. And in this passage, he's talking about putting aside the way the world thinks and making sure that our thoughts align with God and His thoughts. And that means that most likely we'll have to forsake some things we've been thinking and change the way we think. We need to make our minds new. In Psalm 119, verse 11, it talks about hiding God's word in our heart. And the reason that we do that is so that we don't sin. That entire passage, in fact, if you've been doing the Bible Girl scriptures writing this month, you've noticed that Psalm 119 has a lot to say about God's word. And one of those things is the value of making sure that we have it memorized, that it's a part of us, so that when we need to recall it, we can. Which kind of goes to the next verse and the next verse on our part in transformation, which is Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, which talks about the armor of Christ. And we need to remember that we are actually fighting with spiritual weapons. We are, and when it comes to transformation, we are using the spiritual warfare, which means that we are fighting with the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit and the shoes of truth and all of these things that God has asked us to put on and fight with. They're all spiritual weapons. They're not, of course, physical weapons, but we are told to fight with them. And if you think about when God, Jesus, was in the wilderness with Satan, and Satan was tempting him to sin, if you remember, all three times Jesus fought back to each temptation with Scripture. He used a spiritual weapon to fight a spiritual battle. So this is why our part in transformation of hiding God's word in our heart is important, because we're going to have to fight with it. We're going to have to use it to break down these spiritual strongholds that are in our lives and really put those, the things that are holding us back. The only way we're going to be able to fight against them is by these spiritual weapons of using the truth of God's word. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 tells us that we have a responsibility to take every thought captive to the truth. In this passage, we are told that we need to make sure that we aren't just entertaining every thought that flies into our head, but that we are examining those thoughts and seeing if they line up to the truth of Scripture and what God would have us to believe and to know and to do. And if those thoughts don't line up, then we need to forsake them and we need to cling to the thoughts that are true. The fifth part about that we have in transformation is making sure that we abide in Jesus. And we've talked about this on the podcast before, John 15, 1 through 5 are some of the best verses that I've heard on really what it's like to live the Christian life. It says that we are to remain connected to the Father, connected to the source of life, and the source and the power of our transformation comes from God, and we need to stay connected to Jesus so that we have that power and that we have that source flowing through us. We're also told not just to only to abide in Jesus, but the sixth part of our job in transformation is to abide in God's word. That's in John 8:31 through 32. We are to stay connected to God's word. We are to abide in it. That means more than just paying attention to a sermon or checking off the verse of the day calendar each day. It means that we're actually allowing God's word to permeate our hearts and to fuel our decision making and our thought processes. Abiding in God's word is more than just stopping and considering God's word for a moment and then going on and doing what we want, but it's allowing God's word to actually change us, change our actions and our behaviors. The last part that we have in transformation is found in Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 25, where Paul talks about walking by the Spirit. We no longer walk under the power of our own flesh, but we walk by the Spirit. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit in what He is doing in our lives. That means that we obey the promptings that He gives us, and that means that we listen to His voice, and that we take seriously the things that He impresses upon us. Walking by the Spirit is integral to the concept of transformation because it ensures that we are transforming in a way that is designed for us to do so by God. We're actually cooperating in the process that He is beginning in us. So if these seven parts are all our job in transformation, they can all really be summed up in Scripture meditation. If you were to meditate on Scripture, you would be doing all of these things that we have just mentioned. And so this is why meditation is so important. Now, I have to say that many people's view of meditation is somewhat flawed. We have a Middle Eastern kind of New Age view many times. People hear the word meditation and think of someone maybe in a flowing robe who's sitting cross-legged on the floor and humming to themselves. And while that is a form of meditation, it is not the meditation that the Bible talks about. It's certainly not the Christian tradition of meditation that's been held through many, many years. People have been meditating on Scripture for quite some time. And there is a real value and benefit to learning how to do it properly. And that does mean that take a look at some of the ways that people are doing it today and make sure that what we're doing is lining up to that. You want to be really careful of any kind of meditation that encourages you to empty your mind. The Bible does not tell us in any place to empty ourselves. In fact, we are told to fill ourselves up with things, and we are told to take off and put back on. We know that over and over in the epistles, Paul talks about taking off these bad things and putting on these good things. Nowhere are we to just be completely empty, but we are to be deliberately choosing what is in our minds. And so any kind of meditation that wants you to be still and quiet so that you can release all your thoughts is not scriptural meditation. Scripture meditation is where you take a verse of the Bible and you think about it over and over and you ask questions of it and you decipher what it means and you think about it over and over and over again. many years ago, I was struggling with something in my life and I couldn't quite figure out how to get past it. I felt like it was such a deep-seated emotional thing I was struggling with, and I realized I had felt this way for so many years that I didn't quite know how to get rid of it. I knew that it was holding me back in my trust of God and my faith in Him, and it was something that needed to be dealt with, but I was at a loss as to how to move forward. My mother suggested that I find some verses that speak to this issue and that I begin to meditate on them. And I did this. I started with a section of scriptures that I felt directly spoke to trusting God and the goodness of God, and I began to reflect on them. I would read them several times a day, and I would ask myself questions like, do I really believe this? What this verse is saying right here, do I believe it? Is there any evidence of any action in my life that shows I believe this? Well, if there isn't, then why don't I believe this? What about this is causing me a problem? I might say I believe it with my lips, but my life isn't showing evidence of this. My life is showing evidence to the contrary. So what about my life is different from this verse? And how is it that I can't seem to grasp this? And I would begin to pray those questions as I would read. I would also answer just some basic questions like, is this true for the way the world works? Is this what the world sees? Do they think this is true? What is different from between the way the world believes and what this verse says? There is an excellent book out I'm going to recommend that you get if this is a subject you'd like to grow in. It is a book by Barb Raveling, and it's called The Renewing of the Mind Project. And she has written a very excellent resource guide to not only how to meditate on scripture and how to renew your mind, but also she gives you the tools to do it with lots of lists and questions to work through, list of scripture verses to meditate on, arranged by topic. It's a very, very helpful and practical book. But on page 24, she gives some verses, some questions to ask when you meditate on a scripture verse. And I thought these were very good. What does this verse mean? Is this the way I usually think about life? If not, why don't I think about life this way? Am I believing any lies? How does the truth of this verse speak to the lies I'm believing? What is God really saying here? And how will this verse affect my life? Those are all excellent questions to look at when you begin to meditate on scripture. And it's important to remember that one of the parts of transformation is walking in step with the Spirit. So make sure that you're not just doing this on your own, but you're actually engaging in prayerful conversation with God and making sure that the Holy Spirit is involved in helping to stir your mind toward truth. When I began to meditate on those scriptures and I began to ask those kinds of questions, I began to see that God was changing my perspective. He was helping me see life through a different point of view. He was healing some of the broken parts of me that didn't allow me to see clearly. And the more I meditated on these verses about the goodness and of God and about how He can be trusted and how faithful He is, I began to realize that I had some flawed thinking and that I was believing some things that certainly weren't true. And over the course of about 5 or 6 weeks, God did a really good work in me and He strengthened me in this. And I began to see how scripture meditation is instrumental to our growth. I have done this since then for other areas of my life, and I will probably do it until I die. Philippians 1:6 tells us that the God who started a good work in you will complete it. He is invested in making sure that you become more and more like the image of Jesus. And He's going to do that through the circumstances that He brings into your life. But He's also going to do it when you cooperate with Him and work toward your transformation by meditating on Scripture, by ingesting it, by abiding in Christ, by abiding in the Word, by using Scripture to fight spiritual battles, to gain victory over bad habits, and to gain success at starting new God-honoring habits, and to deal with the messy emotions that we struggle with so often. There are a lot of good resources out there. The book I mentioned previously, The Renewing of the Mind Project by Barb Raveling, is probably the best overall book that I could recommend to you, partly because she breaks down a lot of different ways of using scripture to renew your mind. Some of them go a little bit beyond meditation that are very helpful. Her section on truth journaling is very beneficial, and I would recommend that if you like to journal that you read that chapter. I think it will help you a lot. And then, of course, the resources in the back of all of the verses and the questions are incredibly helpful and very well done. There are some other books out there. Beth Moore has a great book on praying the scriptures that breaks down lots and lots of scriptures and kind of she puts them in first person and turns them into affirmations, which are very helpful to read. And she also has kind of divided them into categories along with some major things that we wrestle with. That book is very helpful. In fact, when I first started my first meditation project on scripture, I used that book. I pulled a lot of scriptures from that as the basis for what I was reading regularly several times a day. There's a lot of other books out there on praying the scriptures. There's some great resources. I'll put links to both of the books that I've mentioned on our Facebook group so that you can see them, and they'll also be in the newsletter that'll get mailed out. I do not have any specific handouts other than some show notes for today's episode, but next week we're going to talk about kind of putting it all together, developing a quiet time, what that means, how that works, and also we'll be talking about a quiet time notebook or journal that you can put together that will help you stay balanced and keep you motivated and give you a good record of your progress, as well as just an opportunity to see what God is doing in your life in a tangible way. So we're going to talk about that next week, and I look forward to wrapping up this study on quiet time here in the next few weeks, and Bible study and spending time with God and meditating on scripture and all of these things that are so important for us. Remember, when learning any new discipline, there is a learning curve. If you've never meditated on scripture before, it's something that might take a little bit for you to feel natural. We need to constantly remind ourselves in this world of instant everything that a lot of the best things take work. And just because something doesn't feel right the first time, and just because we don't do it well immediately right out of the box, doesn't mean that it's not worth working towards, and that the discipline of doing it is not doing its good work in us. Let's not expect perfection. Let's be willing to learn as we go and to grow stronger in something over time. I think our culture's lost that value, and I think that we're much poorer because of it. So I encourage you to stick with it and know that I'll be praying for you as you do this. I know the value of this, and so I pray that God will use this in a mighty way in your life. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. Go to BibleGirlPodcast.com to email me, listen to past episodes, sign up for my newsletter, or download show notes and scripture writing plans. Join the Bible Girl Facebook group to download Bible study worksheets and get the latest podcast news. You can also talk with me and other listeners. I'm all over social media as Jessie L. Robinson. That's Jessie, J-E-S-S-I, L. Robinson. I'd love for you to friend or follow me. Join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.